Big questions for little hearts.
Who is God?
Were Jesus and God different? Why can't I see God?
How do we know he's real if we can't see him?
Where's heaven?
What does heaven look like? How can Jesus fit inside my heart?
Join me, Charlene Sagan, special guest and teacher with over 30 years experience, Wendy Rind. We'll discuss how to approach these challenging conversations and how to best represent the heart of God to our children.
Big questions
for little hearts.
We are so excited to continue on this very special series, Big Questions for Little Hearts. If you have not listened to last week and the week before, you can go and have a look on our podcast section on the website. I think it's one of those resources or one of these conversations that we can always go back to. And every time we listen to it, we're going to pick up something new, something that we maybe hear in a different way. And so even for me as a parent, I can always go back to these chats. But Wendy Rind is here with me again today. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, lovely to be here again.
Thank you. So we're going to continue the conversation today, and today we're going to be asking some of the other bigger questions about heaven and eternity, the big questions that our kids tend to ask. And so if you want to know what some of those questions would sound like, why don't you stay tuned, because we're going to get into that very soon. So I'm joined here by Wendy, and before we get into today's topic, I think it's important to just go back to the foundation of this conversation. We're talking about how we approach these conversations, which is really the most important thing. It's not about what you say, it's actually about how you approach the conversation. So Wendy, can you just remind us of some of the most important things that we have spoken about so far?
Yeah, sure. So before even attempting to answer any questions, you want to awaken a hunger for learning in your little ones. You want to encourage them to seek and search God out for themselves, and form that connection with God themselves, rather than you forcing your opinions or your what you've learned on them. You want them to kind of experience it for themselves. Benjamin Franklin had such a nice little saying. It says, "Tell me and I forget, teach me and I remember, involve me and I learn."
Wow.
And so children learn experientially through their five senses. So let's involve them in this process. And remember, the process is not is more important than the product. So the process of learning is more important than the actual answer that they come up with. So teach them how to think and not what to think. I always say that, we don't want to impose our thoughts onto them and our learnings onto them. We want to teach them how to think for themselves. So help them to think and not just to get a download from you. Answer questions with questions. This helps them to think. And it helps them to search deeper in, and for themselves and figure it out. Have a big view of God is an important thing, because your view of God will shape your little one's view of God. And so make sure your view of God is big. Yeah. Journey with them. Research together. Experience the reality of God together. It's such a beautiful time with your little one. Be aware of your own defaults and your own formation and your own views and fears. And so these are helpful things just to remember.
Yeah, so good. And when you say answer questions with questions, we spoke about how if your child asks you, for example, who is God, you can answer by asking the question, who do you think God is?
Yeah, who is God to you?
Exactly. And so like Wendy's saying, we want them to experience God, that we want them to go on this journey. There's no perfect answer that's going to reveal God to them. They're going to have to go through this journey of discovering God. And so it's so good to ask questions and to not just, give the answer and our interpretation of what the answer should be. So we spoke about questions around who God is last week. Now, here are some of the big zinger questions, if you could call it that, that my kids love asking me, like, where's heaven? How do we know it's real? Like, why can't I see heaven? And, where do people go when they die? Things like that, that are very sensitive and hard to explain. So, Wendy, would you just kind of help us just ease into this topic and give us a good, just like a foundational perspective on this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure while you're driving or while parents are listening to this, you know, they've got all those answers in their head that they can just shoot off and, you know, where is heaven? What does heaven look like? Why do people have to die? You know, all of that. They have these kind of formation default answers ready to answer. But heaven and death and eternal life are very abstract concepts for little ones. Life now on earth is what they can see and feel and touch and is a reality for them. So these concepts are very, very abstract. And so in this life, if we can go on a journey with them and let them experience the different realities of existence, you know, there's a physical life and there's a physical death. And then there's a spiritual life and there's a spiritual where we live in death, a spiritual death before we know God, you know, before God opens our eyes. You know, when Adam and Eve were told that they will surely die if they eat of the tree, you know, did they fall down dead physically? No, they didn't, you know. And you are either, you know, kind of physically living, but your spirit is dead. If you don't know God and he hasn't awakened you and opened your spiritual eyes, you're living in death, you know. And it says we are dead in our sin. And our sin there doesn't mean, you know, the petty little flesh actions that we find ourselves struggling with daily. You know, that's Paul speaks about, you know, who will save me from this body of death? Thanks be to Jesus, you know. But death, dead in your sin, is being in that perpetual state of incompleteness, continually missing the mark in the flesh. So that is what it is. And then there's a spiritual life when God opens our eyes and you are spiritually living and believing that Christ has rescued you out of this existence of death, and you are living in this reality and he has filled you with his spirit and you're alive in him. And Jesus says, you know, if you believe in me, you will never die. So is that, you know, physical, spiritual, what? He speaks about him being the resurrection and the life. So he is the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah, that's so good. And I think what stands out to me there is just to really have our kids understand the truth that we are not just our physical bodies,
exactly.
That we're mind, body, spirit, and that there are many parts to us. And so we'll get more into that as we unpack this big questions for little hearts and is heaven real and, you know, life, death, or everything in between.
So, parents, I just want to take you through an exercise because I love learning experientially. So I'm going to give you just an exercise. When you hear the words heaven, kingdom of the heavens, eternal life, kingdom of God, what do you see? What is the first picture that comes to mind? What is what comes to mind that you've heard of, that you've learnt about, that you've, you know, seen pictures of and kind of learnt in a kids' ministry and, you know, through pastors and preachers? Do you think about heaven or eternal life or the kingdom of the heavens or the kingdom of God only as a destination? For one day in the future, a place to go when you die and you're just waiting around on earth. You know, we're all just waiting around on earth to get there. And, you know, it's streets of gold and it's pearly gates and it's up there in the clouds, you know. Those would be the common answers. So if your view is a destination that we are waiting to go to when we die, we miss out on a with God life now. You know, that spiritual life that we can have now, that he's opened our eyes to, and our little ones don't experience that person of Jesus that is life and is peace now while they're living on earth. You know, I heard it said that if you don't like your with God life here on earth, you know, then how do you know you're going to like it in heaven when you get there? Yeah. So So, you know, is it just a destination, or is it a kingdom now that we can live in? So let's take your little ones on a journey of discovery together and experience this living in this kingdom of God here on earth. We're talking about a living, risen, and ruling and reigning Jesus. You know, a King Jesus that's king of the of this his kingdom, and he has come as the Messiah in the flesh to rescue us out of danger into safety and healing and wholeness.
Yeah, that's so good. And again, I mean, we spoke about that last week. It's about having a kingdom perspective, a kingdom mind. So I love what you say, that heaven, if you think about heaven as a destination, it kind of makes our life here on earth a little
irrelevant.
Yeah, irrelevant. But actually, as we live like Jesus, as we spread the love of Christ in our world, we're actually furthering the kingdom of God. And that is like a piece of heaven here on earth.
Yeah, definitely. And his existence here with us on earth is beautiful. So we're talking about the different realities of existence. So if we see the kingdom of the heaven as a reality of existence now on earth, the scripture in Galatians, it says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is now no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Mm-hmm. And so a living reality of existence in Jesus, it's another kind of life. It's a full, abundant life that we can live. And we can live in the Spirit here now on earth. Mm-hmm. It's the rule of Christ in the hearts of believers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the meaning of eternal life, ever-existing life is God's life. He existed before time, outside of time. You know, he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And that life does not focus on a future destination, but as a present possession. Mm. And so if we believe in Jesus, we can live in eternal life right now, experiencing this quality of God's life now as a present possession. And throughout scripture, Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven, of the heavens, and the kingdom of God. And he was very intent about speaking about the kingdom of God with his disciples for 40 days after he was risen. And he sent them out to proclaim it. He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God. And so it must have been so important to him. And it shouldn't it be the most important thing to us as believers? Mm. So let's discover living this with God life now with our little ones.
Yeah, so good. And I think, again, like we said previously, it's really about having a mindset or a kingdom perspective that like God is here right now, and we're doing life with God right now. And so we're not just waiting on earth for the hard part to be over so we can get to the good part. Like God is here with us right now. Jesus died for us so that we can access this life, you know, as Romans speaks about, like we're co-heirs with Christ.
Yeah.
And so it's just so encouraging. We're going to chat about this a bit more after 12, and Wendy's still going to be with us. Wendy's just, I just love the way that you explain things simply, and I really know that it's going to open up very deep conversation between parents and their children. I'm joined here by Wendy. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, lovely to be here again.
So Wendy is joining me for the special series, Big Questions for Little Hearts. And Wendy is a preschool teacher. She's been doing this for 30 plus years. And she has a gift of explaining challenging concepts to kids and just teaching us how to approach these conversations, to not just have a cookie cutter answer, but to really, really consider what we're teaching our kids. So Wendy, can you just almost take us further on the journey as we talk about this reality of heaven and earth?
Just a recap again, just that children really learn experientially. Mm. So we want this to be an experiential journey for these little ones to go on, to experience that connection with God. So we are talking about a reality of existence, living the with God life here on earth now, in his kingdom. And We can live in this body on earth filled with His Spirit, and we can have the all those aspects of the Holy Spirit, and we can live in those. And I was just listening to a preacher that was doing a wedding once, and you know, he says he counsels wedding couples, and they're sitting in front of him, and he lets them know that they can actually live in that perfect love that the Scripture talks about. And they're like, no, we can't, you know, patient and kind and not envying and, you know, has no pride and all of that. You know, we can't live like that. Mm. But we can. He, you know, God's given us His Spirit so that we can live in this perfect love. And we can live choosing life daily.
Yeah.
And dying to our flesh daily. And walking in the fullness of His Spirit daily, you know. Think about what that looks like for you and for your little ones. And then go on the journey with them to experience that.
Yeah, it reminds me that, you know, when Jesus went up back to heaven, He was, you know, He was this presence of God here on earth. And then He sent us the Holy Spirit. He left the Holy Spirit here with us, which was His presence.
Yeah.
And we forget that we actually have, I mean, the Holy Spirit's there. It's not like we have to muster up some kind or say the right thing to get Him to be here. He is here. His presence is here.
Yeah. And He says He'll leave someone in my place, you know, someone like me.
Yes.
And so we have that opportunity to live with the Spirit every day.
Yeah. So, Wendy, what does it look like practically to live this God life we speak of?
Yeah, I mean, living the with God life now here on earth, what does it look like? Practically, how do we do it? You know, how does it play out? What do the little ones see of it? And I was just chatting to my nephew. He went on this camp into the mountains, and they got stuck in the snow, and they were walking through blizzards, and, you know, it was a Christian camp, and one of the moms, you know, asked me, but, you know, they learned nothing. They were stuck in the blizzard. There was no one there. You know, they had a horrible experience. And I was like, you know, they were discussing, you know, they didn't even read Scripture, or they didn't even pray together. And I'm thinking, my goodness, this experience was probably the closest they were to God in their whole entire lives, you know. And I thought, what an experience living this with God life, you know, not going through the kind of Christian, what do you call them, like exercises.
Yeah.
But just literally living every step with God. And it was a dangerous situation, so they needed to rely on Him totally. Mm. And that is kind of the experience we're looking at, rather than just the, you know, reading a scripture and praying and, you know, putting your requests out there, you know, I want this and I want that, but actually just forming a connection with God everywhere, all the time, you know, that pray without ceasing kind of thing, where you're actually walking a road with God every day.
Yeah, and that reminds me of the fact that, you know, I've thought about this a lot, that we often have a very black and white view of life. So good means God's presence, bad means not God's presence. And we often, I think even just in the way that we live our lives, we feel like we have to do certain things to get to God's presence, like we've discussed. And I think to explain, like that story you told about your nephew, you know, in the snow, like to actually, for our kids to understand that God is there through everything.
Yeah, and the good and the bad.
Exactly. And it's not, you know, I mean, we know that the Bible talks about suffering producing character and all of that. But I think just for our kids to understand that when you go through hard things, that does not mean that God is not there. Mm. God is there with you. And that is where He leads you through that. And you grow and you mature. And so to understand that you know, bad things happening isn't a sign of God's hand being lifted, or God, you know, God's lack of presence.
Yeah. And so maybe mom and dad, apart from the kids, go on a journey yourselves, you know, between the two of you, and experience this living with God life, so that the little ones can see you living it out in front of them.
Yeah.
So these concepts of death and heaven and, you know, a place that you go to or a destination that you think of, the angst and the urgency with parents about getting their kids saved so that their eternity is secure, you know, so that they can just get to a destination one day. But salvation is so much more. It's such a loaded word, you know. What is your interpretation of salvation? Everyone has their interpretation of it. He has come as the Messiah in the flesh to save us. So salvation being, he has rescued us out of danger into safety, healing, and wholeness. I mean, how beautiful is that? And it's not a one and done thing, you know. It's a continual healing. It's a continual kind of moving into a wholeness in him. And we don't want to make converts of our children or make them conform to a Christian culture, but we want them to have a connection with a living God. You know, it's not make disciples, it's just disciple people. You know, don't make converts, just connect them to God, point them to God. Connect them with the best teacher, not us always, but the Holy Spirit in them. Connect them to the Holy Spirit within them, who leads and guides them into all truth. You know, the Holy Spirit, their best teacher on how to really live in this kingdom. And if they can be connected to a real experience of God, they will live their best life, you know. Just a question to you, yeah, Charlene. As a pastor's kid on your journey, did you kind of experience stepping into the kingdom of God and that life from what you were told or from what you experienced from God directly?
Yeah, I mean, it's so cool that you're asking this question, because as you were talking in the beginning, I literally thought of this, because I had this huge existential crisis, you know, like if I didn't pray the prayer right, or if I didn't have this very, you know, specific moment of salvation that I remember, then what if I like don't get into heaven? Yeah. And so I spent a lot of my childhood worrying about that, because I honestly don't remember. I'm sure a lot of kids who grew up in church feel the same. You know, you don't remember the day when you prayed the prayer, and I didn't have a like a past life where I was on drugs, you know, like. And I always envied people like that, actually, where they had this radical moment of salvation and you know, then their life changed. And so I struggled with this, honestly, until I was about 19. And I remember just doing kind of a Bible study course, and for the first time understood what working out your salvation means. Yeah. And that changed my life, because I understood that salvation isn't this one moment. Yes. For a lot of people, it could be. It's this realization. But for most people, it's this process of becoming more Christ-like. It's like, you know, like following Jesus. The disciples on the first day, they didn't like pray a special prayer. Like they just kind of followed Jesus and did life with him. And as they did so, they became more like him. And so I think that has been hugely helpful for me, a perspective shift that, and I think for our kids too, that we don't worry about, you know, have they prayed the prayer, and oh my word, they haven't been baptized. And, you know, like we get so caught up with that. But my question is, are they becoming more like Jesus? Are they actually after God's heart?
Yeah.
Yeah, that for me.
And are they connecting with him?
Exactly. Yeah. So, so important.
So if we understand that we exist in these realities of living in the flesh and living in the spirit, and that eternal, or rather ever-existing life, or living in the kingdom of God, is experiencing this quality of God's life now as a present possession, and not waiting for it one day in the future, you know, as a destination, then what a beautiful with God life we can live now. And physical death for everyone is such a trauma, but if we remember that our spirit never dies, and that sting of death has been taken away. Just a scripture, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. And so we know that we have died with him, we have been raised to life with him, and we can live life with him, and in his resurrection.
Is that Romans? Just
That's Romans 6,
verse 8. Yeah. And so carrying on with Romans, because that's my favorite book of the Bible. Yeah. But I think, you know, we've spoken about a lot of different things, and you might want a cookie cutter answer, but that's not what we're here to give. We're here to really get to the heart of the matter. But here is a passage of scripture that I've read to my kids lots, and that you can maybe read to your kids and point them back to, because I think the fear of death and all of this can sometimes be overwhelming, especially as the child gets older. But this is a scripture that you can put up on your wall and quote to your kids a lot. So it's Romans 8 from verse 38. This is from the Passion Translation. So now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with a power to separate us from God's love. I'm convinced that his love will triumph over death, life's troubles, fallen angels, or dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken his love. Mm-hmm. There is no power above us or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. So that is, for me, so powerful. And I think it's such a great way to approach the conversation, to explain that it's actually the love of God that holds us and that draws us near. And that means, I mean, it's because God loved us so much that he sent Jesus, and we had this opportunity to have and experience eternal life. And so thank you, Wendy, so much for having this conversation with me today.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Guys, we are going to be back next week with the final part of this Big Questions for Little Hearts. That is all from me, Charlene Saker. Trust you have an amazing day further.